Well, this morning we continue our teaching series entitled Prayer, Unlocking the Possibilities for Your Life by taking a look today at praying with confidence. And the fact is, if you look at the New Testament, Jesus had a lot to say about prayer. But this morning I want us to look at just one section of Scripture, one set of verses captured in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. In these six verses, Jesus gives us four reasons why we can always pray with confidence, no matter who we are or what we've done. Now, so listen to Matthew chapter 7. Listen to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Here Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Now, isn't this an awesome passage about prayer? Again, found tucked neatly in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And note again, verse 7. In verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." You see, this is a promise from God. And by the way, the verbs here, ask, seek, and knock, are actually present participles. Jesus is actually saying here, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't just knock one time. You see, if I told you to go over to a certain house in Urbana and knock on the door, when the door opens, they're going to give you $1 million. You wouldn't walk up to that door and knock once, and if nobody came, turn around and leave. No way. If you knew $1 million was waiting for you on the other side of that door, you'd start knocking, and you would keep on knocking until that door finally opened. So God is saying, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, be persistent in prayer. And check out verse 8. It says, "For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Now, this is another prayer promise. Anyone who seeks will find, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Then Jesus finished this short little dissertation on prayer by asking, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Now, obviously, the answer is none of us. "Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" Again, no way we're going to give our child a snake instead of a fish. "If you then," Jesus says, "though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." And by evil, Jesus means here sinful, lacking perfection, imperfect. And Jesus is using a metaphor, the image of prayer as a parent and child talking together. So Jesus is saying, since you're not perfect, since you're imperfect, but you still know, even though you're imperfect, you still know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And then he wraps it all up by saying, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So if you brought a Bible with you or can take hold of one, I invite you to do so as together we take a closer look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, and four reasons why we can always pray with confidence. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's get started. So here's the first thing God teaches us in Matthew chapter 7 about why we can always pray with confidence. God promises to answer if we keep asking. God promises to answer if we just keep asking. Now again, verses 7 and 8. Here Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now then, what's the difference between asking, seeking, and knocking? We might think that it's just three ways of saying the same thing. But the fact is, Jesus is not saying that we should ask in three different ways. He's saying that proximity to our Heavenly Father makes all the difference. Now, I'm not going to go in a whole lot of detail here, but let me explain. You see, when we're close to our Heavenly Father, we just ask. In other words, if I'm a little child and I'm at home and my dad is sitting in the living room and I have something I need from him, I don't write him a letter. I don't email him. I do not call him up on the phone. If I'm close to my father, I just go, hey, Dad, I need, and then I ask. When we're close to God, all we need to do is asked, like the child asks a father. God, I need this. Abba, Father, I need that. God, help me, I need this. When we're close to God, we just simply ask. But sometimes we're not close to our Father. Sometimes we're not close to our Heavenly Father. Sometimes I have something I want to ask my dad, and as a little child, I go, well, he's not here in the living room, so I need to go seek him. I go look in the backyard. Is his dad in the backyard? I want to ask him a question. No, he's not there. I go to the garage. Is dad in the garage? No, he's not there. Is he at work? If he's at work, I might have to call him. When I'm distant from God, I have to do a little bit more than ask. I have to go and seek him out. I have to seek God when I'm distant from him, when he's not close. Then sometimes my dad might be on the other side of a wall, and I have to knock. When a wall keeps me from seeing my father, what do I do? Well, I have to knock on the door. So when God's in the room with me, I just ask. When I don't know where God is, when I'm distant from God, well, then I have to go seek. And when there's a barrier, a wall between God and you and me, well, then we have to go and knock. So as a small child, if I want to ask my dad something and I look for him and find out that he's in his office with the door closed, what do I do? Do I give up? Do I just say, oh, shoot, the door's closed and walk away? No, I go up and knock on the door. And when I knock, Dad goes, who is it? It's me, I say. It's me, Dad. Come on in, he says. There's no problem, no hassle. I just knock. I say, is it okay for me to come in? Sure it is. Come on in, son. Come on in, he says. Now, what's God saying by all of this? Well, God is saying that it doesn't matter. Now, check this out, because this is extremely important. God is saying that it doesn't matter how close we are to him, or how far away we are from him. He still wants to commune with you and me. He still wants us to engage him. He still wants us to pray. He still wants us to ask. You see, some of us might think, well, I'm not worthy to ask God anything. I'm too far away from God right now. But God says, no. No. You can ask. You can seek. You can knock. It doesn't matter what the distance is. It doesn't matter whether we're close or far away. The very act of asking is going to bring us back into communion with him. It's going to make us closer. You see, it's not like we have to clean up our life before we can start praying, before we can start asking God. God says, just ask, no matter whether you're really close to me or whether you're still just trying to find me. Some of us may be seekers. We're trying to figure God out. We're trying to find God. Or maybe there's a barrier between us and God as a result of a poor choice or bad decision in our life, and we know it. God says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We can still ask. We can still pray. Now, knowing that gives us confidence, doesn't it? You see, regardless of how close or far away we are, we can ask for anything in prayer. As Jesus reminds us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now then, this sounds like we can just ask for anything. And the answer is absolutely. We can ask for anything, but it doesn't mean God is going to give it to us. God answers every prayer, but he does not always say yes. So yes, we can always ask, but there are some obvious qualifications, and we'll talk about that in the weeks ahead. And here's the second reason why we can always pray with confidence. God will never give us anything that could harm us or hurt us. Now, this is going to help us build confidence because we don't often know what to pray. We say, you know, I don't know if this is a good thing to pray about. I'm really not sure in this situation what to pray for or how to pray. I don't know if this is good for me or not. But remember, God will never give us anything that's unhelpful or harmful. God will never give us everything we want because not everything we want will always be helpful for us. In verses 9 and 10, we read again, Jesus says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Well, Jesus is actually trying to be funny here, okay? He's using some Aramaic humor by exaggeration. Of course, God would not do that to us, and we wouldn't do that to any of our children. The point here, then, is that God says, it doesn't matter what you pray, because I'm the one who's going to decide if it's good or not. Not you. That's what God says to you and me. We don't have to know or figure out if the prayer is a good one or not. We just ask. We just ask for anything. And if what we ask for is not good for us, God will just say no. For example, if one of our children came up to us holding a gallon of Clorox and says, hey, open this for me, I want to drink this whole gallon down. Are we going to say, sure, son, let me help you with that. Take it and have fun. Be careful, don't drink it all at once. Maybe space yourself. You know, no, we wouldn't do that. We'd say, no, give me that thing. That's not good for you. Or if a four-year-old grandchild comes up and says, Grandpa, here are the keys to the car. I'm going to take it for a spin, okay? And I'm going to go, sure, knock yourself out. If you can see or reach the pedals, go for it. No, we're going to say, give me those keys. Where'd you get those? You can't do that. See, the point here is that God knows what we don't know. God knows what we do not know. So he says, just don't worry about whether your request is a good one or a bad one. You don't have to worry about that. Just ask whatever you want. I'll figure it out. It's on me, he says. It's my burden. I will never give you something that is unhelpful or harmful for you. God will sort it all out. Now, that's a great stress reliever, if you think about it, in prayer. So first, God promises to answer if we keep asking. And second, God will never give us anything that's unhelpful or harmful. And the third reason we can always pray with confidence is God will only give what's best for us. God will only give what's best for us. Again, verse 11. Jesus said, if you then, though you are evil, though you're not perfect, though you're a sinner, still saved by grace, but you're not perfect. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, this gives us a lot of confidence in praying too. But we need to understand that God is not a slot machine where we put in the prayer and pull the lever and get whatever the slot machine pumps out. A slot machine can give some bad stuff. Slot machine isn't going to always give us good stuff. God is not a slot machine. And God is not a vending machine. I mean, vending machines never have the best stuff. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever received a sandwich out of a vending machine? I remember when my parents moved outside of Toledo when I was in college. One summer I worked at a fiberglass plant in Waterville, Ohio, right outside Toledo. And I would often ride my bike to work. And when I did, I wouldn't pack my lunch. I suppose I could have, but I didn't. I would just get sandwiches out of the vending machine. Well, on this particular day, a day that will live on in infamy, okay, I was hungry. I was hungry. I was a grown boy. I was hungry. And I went to the vending machine with all my quarters ready to have a feast. Guess what? The only thing in the vending machine was egg salad sandwiches. Now, I don't know about you, and if I offend you, I'm totally sorry, but I can't stand wonderful, homemade, fresh egg salad sandwiches, let alone egg salad sandwiches that are old and crusty in a vending machine. But guess what? I was hungry. I was desperate. I got some egg salad sandwiches out of that vending machine, and I'm here to tell you, they were awful. They were bad. The fact is, vending machines do not have the best stuff. Vending machines do not give us the best, but only God will give us the best. And that's why God is not a vending machine. And God is not our genie. Some people treat prayer like the Aladdin's lamp. We just rub the lamp and think God will pop out and say, your wish is my command. No, God does not serve us. Remember, we serve the mighty God. Bottom line, God is not our butler. He's not our genie. God is not our vending machine. And God is not our servant. We are God's servants. So we might be thinking, well, if that's the case, then why should we even ask? Well, because God says to. God is our Father. He is our heavenly Father, our heavenly parent. He's not our vending machine, but he is our Father and God who loves us more than we even love ourselves. God says, I'm your loving heavenly Father, and I'm waiting. I'm a gentleman. I wait to be invited. I'm waiting and wanting to answer your prayers. So why would we be nervous about praying? God is just our Father in heaven. We don't have to use fancy words. God, I need this, God, I need that, will work just fine. God will sort it all out. God says, I will never give you what's not best for you. God wants us to have a breakthrough. God wants to give us a breakthrough in our lives, but he says you had not because you ask not. In Max Lucado's book, Max on Life, he shares the following story. He says, when my oldest daughter was about 6 years old, she and I were having a discussion about my work. It seems she wasn't too happy with my chosen profession. She wanted me to leave the ministry. I like you as a preacher, she explained. I just really wish you sold ice cream cones. Now, that's an honest request from a pure heart, Locato continues. It made sense to her that the happiest people in the world were the people who drove the ice cream trucks. You play music. You sell goodies. You make kids happy. What more could you want? I heard her request, but I didn't heed it. Why? Because I knew better. I know what I'm called to do and what I need to do. You see, the fact is, says Locato, I knew more about life than she did. Same with God. God hears our requests, but his answer is not always what we'd like it to be. Why? Because God knows more about life than we do. God knows more about life than we do. And that's the bottom line. God knows more about life than we do. So pray, ask, seek, knock. And don't worry about what to pray for. Just ask. If God's answer is not what we'd like it to be, remember, God knows more about life than we do. He's a whole lot smarter and wise than you and me. He sees what we cannot see. And he's only going to give us what is absolutely best for us. God is not interested in our comfort. He's interested in our commitment to him. He's not always interested in our delight. He's interested in our discipleship. He's only going to give us what's best for us. Now, there's one more reason why we can always pray with confidence. God wants us to give to others what we want to get. Now, this may seem a little odd, but bear with me. The fact is, God wants us to give to others what we want to get ourselves. Now, this is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Now, many people know the golden rule, but never realize that it's actually connected to prayer. Listen again to verse 12. Jesus says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, I know that doesn't sound like it has anything to do with prayer, but it does, and here's why. Have you ever been asked by somebody, would you please pray for me? Will you pray for me? And we go, well, sure. We'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. But then you say to yourself later, well, how am I going to pray for so-and-so? What do I pray for? I really don't know how I'm going to pray for so-and-so. So what do you pray for somebody when they ask us to pray for them? Well, here's what we can do. We pray for others whatever it is that we would like others to pray for us. That's it. So would we like to have safety and security and success in our lives? Say, sure. Then pray for safety and security and success in other people's life. Would we like to have financial blessing, the financial blessing of God in our life? We say, yeah. Then pray for the financial blessing of God in other people's lives. Would we like to have a healthy body? Of course. Well, then pray for the healthy body of other people. Would we like to have a better use of our time? You say, sure. Then pray for other people to use their time wisely in the best way. You see, God wants us to treat others the way He treats you and me. And when we pray for other people, what do we pray? We pray what we'd like to have prayed for ourselves. Now, so see how simple this is. God wants us to treat others the way God treats us when we pray. And why is this important? Because God doesn't want us to be selfish. God does not like it when me, myself, and I are the three most important people in our lives. Check out Job 42, verse 10. It says, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Now think about that. Remember the story of Job. He was the wealthiest man in the world, and one day, he literally lost everything. All of his children were killed. His business collapsed. His crops were burned. He lost his home. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He got his terrible disease, and not surprisingly, he was a little miserable. At the end of the book, it doesn't say when Job prayed for himself, God heard him. No. It says when Job began to pray for his friends, God said, oh, okay, you got it. You're ready now. The point here is that God is looking for us to be unselfish. The more selfish we are, the more God is going to say, well, hey, I hear you, but you've got a lot of growing up to do. But when we begin to pray for others, when we begin to pray for breakthroughs in the lives of other people, breakthroughs in the life of our congregation, guess what's going to happen to our life? Breakthroughs will begin happening in our lives too. So as we close today, I want to invite us to make our pew or our chair an altar of prayer. As I pray for us today, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Scriptures. Thank you for your book, the Bible. Thank you for showing us four reasons why we can always pray with confidence if we just keep asking, seeking, knocking. Thank you that no matter what our relationship is to you, whether we're close or far away, or whether there's a barrier between us, you want us. You invite us. You call us to ask and seek and knock. Thank you, God, that you're never going to give us something that's not helpful or harmful. You're never going to answer a request that's a wrong request, that's not going to provide us with what we really need in life. Thank you that you'll only give what's best for us so we can relax and not worry about whether or not what we're asking for is an okay request. Because we know you'll sort it all out. And Father God, we ask that you help us give away what we want to receive. Help us to pray for one another. To pray for others, praying that they'll have breakthroughs in their life, praying that they'll receive what we want to receive so they might receive more of your presence and power, and that you will help us to grow more and more like Jesus and bring blessing upon our lives as well. And if this morning you've never consciously and intentionally invited Jesus into your life, then simply say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Make yourself real to me. Come to my life. Make me into the person you want me to be. I yield my all to you. You're number one. And I want to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray.